Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Tuesday, everyone. What is going on?
Like you and me, baby. Down with
this is the Cave Show.
Oh,
thanks for joining. Understand. Hanging with the. I guess we have a lot today.
We're going to talk some football. We're going to talk some basketball. We are brought to you by the one and only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located in Chandler, Arizona, on Alma School and Chandler Heights. So we're definitely going to let you know that if you get down there, you get 10% off of any cigar purchase. They have just mentioned PLR or the Cave Show. They will definitely take care of you. Like I said, get down and you don't have to just smoke your cigar. Get you buy your cigar and leave. Stay there. Smoke your cigar. They have a ton of televisions down there. They will be showing the March Madness tournament, of course, this weekend. I'm sure your brass bracket is as busted as mine, but get down there, enjoy you a cigar, and watch anyway. Like I said, we're definitely going to be talking some NFL, so I'm not going to rely upon myself as the expert here. I'm going to bring in someone who played the game at the highest level for the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Arizona Cardinals. I'm a man here, Jonathan Dwyer. Jonathan, thank you for joining us today. You're on with PLR.
Hey, man. How you doing? Appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity.
Hey, anytime. Thank you again. Unfortunately, I don't have a cigar to give you this time sitting next to me since we're doing this over the Kerry Lackey Law Line.
Oh, man. It's tough out. I'm missing out, man.
All right, well, next time you're in town, you know I got you taken care of.
All right, sounds good.
Hey, listen, I definitely want to get into some football, but you know what? I'm always a follower of yours on Instagram, and looks like you got a lot of good stuff going on. I'd love for you to talk about some of the things you got going on first.
Well, right now I'm going back to school, so I'm taking classes at Georgia Tech right now. I have classes on Tuesdays and Thursdays, working my way to get my degree. I have some tryouts coming up for some CFL teams to get back into playing again. And I'm also in the process of just, you know, rebuilding myself, rebuilding my image. And I'm also, you know, helping train kids at a training facility.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, congratulations and best of luck on all that. I've seen how much you love Georgia Tech. When are they going to be back? When are they going to be back to Georgia Tech?
I think they're on their way. They have a very strong recruiting class. They had some All-Americans that they're bringing in and some great players. So I think that they're on their way. It's all up to how they develop the offensive line and defensive line of players. So that's pretty much where it starts with the program. But they're on their way. They have a lot of guys who are very hungry. I'm very determined and want to bring Georgia Tech back to those days of, you know, before I got there and the time when I was there as well.
Okay, so, you know, I've got to ask you this because this is, you know, obviously you were a very, very good running back. And you hear so much nowadays in the league about this guy is great, but this guy has a line. This guy is great, but he doesn't have a line. When you look at running backs nowadays, and I'll take Ezekiel Elliott, so much credit was given to his offensive line. Do you think, I know this is going to sound crazy, but he got the credit he deserved because every time they talked to him, they talked offensive line first. And there are other guys where, you know, and I'll go back old school with this to put this question into even more perspective. They would say, could you imagine what Barry Sanders would have done with the line for Dallas? But then it almost slights what Emmitt Smith did. In Dallas. Could you kind of put that into perspective for us? I mean, we obviously know the offensive line is is important, but does it take away sometimes from how good a running back is?
I think so. I mean, I think that, you know, every play in the, you know, on the field that goes on, whether it's a blocking, whether it's a route running or a run itself, it's not always going to be perfect. So you could have, you know, on the offensive line, you could have two or three good blocks, but then there's, you know, the other two or the other three that aren't so good blocks. And, you know, that could spring somebody loose, or you have a, there's opportunity for the running back to really showcase what he can do, where he has one, you know, alleyway that's open, but, you know, then the other one isn't, and that one closes, and he has to make something happen and show his creativity. But I think that when it comes to the running back position, as of now, I think they try to say that, you know, anybody can be behind the Dallas line and be productive. And I think it's a truth. It's true to an extent, but I would say that because Darren McFadden had a great year the year before, and he lost his job before Ezekiel Elliott got there. But I think the thing that made Ezekiel so much special was that his ability at the next level. That's what makes him special more than anything. And his involvement in the all-around type of game, his development going into the passing game now, I think that's where his next step has to be, is his development in the passing game.
No, I hear you. I used to always say, when I used to watch the Denver Broncos, they would say you put any running back behind him and he'd get 1,000 yards. But when you put Terrell Davis behind him, he got 2,000. And I think that's what separates. Sometimes you see how special certain guys are. I mean, am I on base with that? Or?
Yeah, I would say so. I think that, you know, during that time when Mike Shanahan was in Denver, it really didn't matter who the running back was. But at the end of the day, we know that there's some running backs who are better than others, and there's some running backs who are good at this one specific thing. There's some guys that are gifted in other things. I mean, it's kind of like how in every position, whereas you look at each and every position, whereas, for instance, you look at the cornerback position, you get everybody's, you know, has their debate on who's the best. You know, everybody says this. I mean, I feel like Pat's the best. I say Pat's the best because his recovery speed is second to none to anyone else in the league, and his ability to how big he is and things like that. So I think, you know, everybody has separated in different ways in every position.
Who is the best running back in the league right now?
My opinion, I'm going to say, to me, it's a two-way tie. I mean, they're very similar in their styles and everything they can do. But I think the one thing that separates one of the others is breakaway speed. I think the top two backs is David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell, hands down, just because of their impact on their team. I feel like if Le'Veon Bell was playing in an AFC championship game, they have a chance to win the game. The fact that he got taken out, it changes the whole offense and how everything is called, how everything is done, everything is drawn out. And I feel like, you know, David Johnson is the heart and soul of the Arizona Cardinals, and he's the future of the organization. And I think the only thing that separates the two of them is they pretty much all can do the same thing. Both of them can do the same thing. But I would say David's breakaway speed is more impressive than Le'Veon's. But other than that, they're pretty much the same type of player. I think there is 1A and 1B.
Okay. Now, those both teams that you played for, so I'm going to ask you this question. Talk about the fans. Who has the crazier fans between the Steelers and the Cardinals? Since we both, you mentioned both of them.
I would say that before Bruce Arians got there, I would say that the Pittsburgh Steelers fans were pretty crazy. I feel like the Arizona Cardinals fan base is on their way to becoming that environment. I think the only thing that separates Pittsburgh is that it's a more national organization. There's Steelers fans everywhere. You know, Arizona is mainly a West Coast team. You know, as far as Texas on over to the West Coast. But for Pittsburgh, I mean, there's Steelers fans all over the world, and that's the reason why. But I think Arizona's love for their team is on its way to match the city of how Pittsburgh is, though, for sure.
What was it like playing for the Steelers? I mean, we see the terrible towels, we hear the tradition, we see the championship trophies. What was it like being a Steeler?
I think the Steeler being a Steeler is a privilege and it's an honor. You pretty much are treated as a rock star in a way, especially in Pittsburgh in general, because that's what they look forward to. They look forward to Sundays. I'll say until the past few years, the only sports they really had looking forward to was the hockey and football. As of late, obviously the Pittsburgh Pirates have done well and have been on a very consistent basis. But, football is life there in the Western PA. And they live, breathe, speak football. They know every player from the practice squad guy to the superstar, to the face of the franchise. And they treat you good. And the fan base is really nuts. Everywhere we went, there would be, even if it's an away game, they'll be all stacked up in the hotel screaming in the chant, "Let's go, here we go, Steelers, here we go." Terrible towels swinging everywhere. And, it's a pretty, pretty crazy fan base.
Anna Carrie Lackey, Law Line with us right now. Jonathan Dwyer, former running back for the Cardinals and the Steelers. We get into this talk all the time about who's an elite quarterback, who's not an elite quarterback. And I think that gets overshot so much because there are so many good quarterbacks. But just how good is Ben Roethlisberger?
I think Ben is good just because of the things that he can do. He could be that pocket presence type of quarterback if you need him to be. And he could be the guy that improvises and turns everything into backyard football. He can make all the throws. He's very smart. He's very intelligent. I think he's definitely grown into more of a vocal leader more than anything than what he had to do when I was there. He was a leader, but not to the extent he has to be now because he's an older guy now. He's one of the oldest guys on the offensive side of the ball now. So probably the team. So, they looked at him, whereas back then, we had other guys. We had James Ferrier. We had other guys like that. But I think the main thing about Ben that's impressed and I think impressed a lot of people is not just his ability because he's always had that. I think it's more of his how he stepped up as a leader more than anything.
Is he underrated compared to some of the other quarterbacks we've heard about?
I would say so. I would say that he doesn't get the credit he deserves as Tom Brady does, or especially when Peyton was playing for Peyton Manning as well, and Drew Brees, and now Aaron Rodgers, and quarterbacks like that, Eli Manning. But, if you look at his resume, it's pretty impressive. He's been to 3 Super Bowls. He's won 2. He's a multiple Pro Bowls. So, before Dak Prescott, he's had the most impressive rookie season that's ever been in NFL history. So I think that he does get overlooked at times. I think it's probably because of, Pittsburgh's known to just be a defensive town, defensive mentality environment as of lately where it's, is offensive first type of team. And I think that he doesn't get the credit he deserves, but I think that, it's kind of like the LeBron James effect. Like, people are so used to how Ben plays that they kind of like put it underneath the table and don't give him that national attention that he deserves.
Switching to the Cardinals, I'm going to ask you the same question, but about Larry Fitzgerald. He's about to go one more year. Can you just kind of talk about his work ethic and how good is Larry Fitzgerald?
Yeah, Larry has like the most ridiculous cat reflexes and best hands I've ever seen. His ability to track the ball, his ability to control his body when his body's in the air, and then, his ability so far to define father time. I remember when I first met Larry years when I was my younger years at Pittsburgh. He wasn't as fast as he is now. It's kind of weird to say that, but his yards after the catch wasn't as impressive as it's been lately. That play he had in the NFC Championship, AFC Divisional round against Green Bay. Like, who would think Larry could do that at the age of where he was? His ability to adapt, change the role of becoming a, that, Z instead of being an X, go in motion, make blocks, and be a part of the run game and things like that. I think that's, you know, really impressive to me in his work ethic and his ability to put the team first and be a natural leader and not be selfish, like, you know, as what they think some receivers are to NFL, quote unquote.
We always kid around a friend of mine and I that when you look at football, everyone is in their position. Everyone does a great job. But it always seems like the divas are the wide receivers, and it never seemed like in his entire career that Larry Fitzgerald ever displayed that tendency.
No, not personally. I mean, the way he dresses, yeah. He's a good dresser, so yeah. But when it comes to his personality wise, as a teammate, he's a great guy. I mean, there's nothing bad I can say about him. I mean, he's a great father, great guy, good teammate, hard worker. You know, he's a big brother to a lot of younger receivers and a lot of guys on the team in general. And that's the way I looked at him as well.
Okay, so I've got to ask you this. Who, when you were playing, who hit you the hardest? And you just got up and you're like, oh, my God, that hurt.
I can't really say because I've never let really anyone get a good shot on me. I've always been, you know, more be the hammer than the nail type of mentality, type of runner.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, if anything, I would probably say maybe in college one time, my freshman year, being asked to go against the first team defense. So, and, you know, seeing it, you know, that's how, like, my welcome to college football moment. That was probably more than anything. It wasn't really the hitting. It was just more like just the game speed and stuff like that. That was just crazy to me. But I've never really got hit hard. I can't really say I have.
You know, it's funny that you say that because I grew up, and I'll show my age with this one, watching Walter Payton play. And it seemed like he never really got hit. And like you said, he was more of the hammer and always delivered the blow. Who did you pattern your game after when you were growing up? Or who did you watch and who did you like and say, I want to be like, you know, his style, that guy?
I was going to try to take a little bit of everybody. You know, I wouldn't say that mattered. You know, I had one guy that I just followed. But I think my mentality of a player as a runner was definitely Walter Payton's mentality of will not be denied type of mentality of I'm going to be hard-nosed. I'm going to be physical early on in the game. I would definitely say I liked Eric Dickerson, his style. And I thought he was pretty cool. You know, he's my mentor, actually. And we joke around and talk about how I used to wear goggles when I was a kid. And I used to wear underneath my helmet like Eric Dickerson. And I wanted his face mask and all those different types of things. So I think I've taken a little bit of everybody from Emmitt Smith to Eric Dickerson to Walter Payton to even Adrian Peterson, his, you know, mentality, and then Marshawn Lynch, and, you know, just different, you know, I had a little something of everybody and try to put it into my game.
Since you mentioned the name, I'm going to ask you, is Adrian Peterson, does he have a spot as a starter for a team in the NFL, or is it time for him to be that second back?
No, it'll be the time for AP to be the second string guy. It's going to be his choice. He knows his body well enough. You know, he's the type of player where he knows his body well enough, whether or not he knows that it's time for me to take a step back. I don't think he's at that time yet. I think maybe, I mean, who knows? I mean, there's stuff that he can do, you know, how he was able to do certain things coming off a major injury the way he did. I don't know when that time will be for him. I think that I don't even know how old AP is. I think he's like 30, what, 31 maybe?
32.
I think he can probably do it for maybe 2-3 more years. I mean, the way he takes care of his body, how hard he works, and everything like that, I think he can. I mean, I think there's a lot of teams that could be, you know, places for him as of, you know, I think a great fit for him would be probably either Oakland or the Giants more than anything. So we'll see.
Listen, before I, you know, get you out of here, I do want to ask you this. completely different sport. NBA is going through the situation with resting. Players sitting, healthy, do not plays. Obviously in football with 16 games, every game is very, very important. We do see sometimes on the last game, if it's clinched, your division is clinched or your playoff seating is clinched, sometimes the stars get a little bit of a rest. What do you think of that? What are your thoughts of the NBA resting players periodically through the season?
I think that, certain teams and certain players, you got to understand, they play a lot more games, a lot of back-to-back games more than anything. I think that's the main thing. That's the reason why it's happening because, they'll play one game here, and then they got to fly overnight, then get up and play another game that evening. So, I couldn't even imagine doing something like that. And, I think that, it's to each his own. Some players are different. If your star players need a break, like LeBron and Kyrie and things like that, especially Kyrie and Kevin Love, they're injury prone. They have an injury prone history. You're trying to win championships. There's some teams out there, like for instance Russell Westbrook. They need him to play. James Harden, they need him to play. So they don't have time to rest. They don't have time to take days off. But you have teams like San Antonio and Cleveland. Even Golden State, if they want to rest guys, they can't. The ultimate thing, at the end of the day, it's about winning championships. And that's what you got to do to win championships. That's what you have to do. And the same thing in the NFL. If you have a clinched opportunity, you have your playoff stamp clinched, or you're first in your division, you're first in the conference, and there's no reason for your starters to play that last game. Why don't you get less? That's just, and especially if you have the first week bye as well, that gives them 2 weeks to rest. So, that's kind of like, why wouldn't you be kind of, ignorant not to take the opportunity to rest your players? The opportunity is fit.
Who wins the NBA title if everyone's healthy?
I'm a Cavs fan because of LeBron. And then Amon Shumpert went to Georgia Tech with me while I was there. So, it's kind of like, I got to ride with my guy, Shump. And, I've always been a LeBron fan forever. So it's kind of like, I'm a Cavs fan. So if everyone's healthy, I think the Cavs have an ultimate chance to win it.
Cool. And well, listen, could you tell, I think you're a great follow on Instagram. Do you mind telling everyone how they could check you out, especially looking at your videos, working with the kids? I think that's awesome.
Well, thanks. To follow me on Instagram, my Instagram is _JDwyer, DWYER, senior, _. So, again, it's _JDwyer, senior, _. Just check me out, follow. Most likely I'll follow you back. And, get a glimpse of my life as being a hardworking guy, father, and a godly man. So, just follow.
Very cool.
Give me a follow.
Hey, listen, I appreciate you taking the time again, and hopefully down the line I can bug you some more and talk some more football with you.
Most definitely, anytime. Thanks for the opportunity.
Hey, listen, I appreciate it, and good stuff with the degree, and best of luck getting back on the grind on the field.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you. God bless.
All right, thank you. You as well. Talk to you soon now.
All right, talk to you soon. Bye.
Well, that was Jonathan Dwyer, formerly of the Cardinals and of the Pittsburgh Steelers, on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. I appreciate him joining us for a second. So he's a Cleveland Cavaliers fan. So if they get healthy and everything stays the same, he's in that corner. So can't blame him. A lot of LeBron fans out there. You could tell that I'm an old guy because I'm always going for what team is happening first, and then from there. So, but it's hard to argue. He is LeBron James. He is the best player on the planet. So it's kind of hard to bet against him. A lot of good things going on there with Jonathan as well, as you heard, working towards that degree, trying to get in on the CFL and get things going again. So all the best of luck to him. And like I said, definitely appreciate him hopping on with us for a little while. Some breaking news I want to share with you. Cam Newton looks like he's having surgery on his rotator cuff. That's definitely not anything good for Carolina, considering he's really the only baller that they have. So that's definitely bad news for the Carolina Panthers. Right now, there's really no timetable. Obviously, he's going to miss the OTAs, but no timetable on what, you know, when he will definitely be back to himself. It was found on an MRI. They had several MRIs done on his shoulder, and they saw that, you know, there was some work that needed to be done, and they got in there, and they I love it when they do surgeries because it's always a success. Even when down the line someone may need three or four more surgeries, the initial one is always a success. But let's hope that he's back and hope that he's ready to go. Watching the NFL without a Cam Newton in Carolina definitely would not be fun, but most important, let's hope that he's back healthy for himself and then obviously for his team. Also on the news front today, Jerry Krause. I call him the architect. He hasn't always been one of my favorite sports people. I'm not going to lie to you. But let's be honest, he did put the Bulls together around Michael Jordan. He was the one who drafted Pippen. He was the one who drafted Horace Grant, made the trade that brought Bill Cartwright in. Not a popular trade at the time at all. Believe me, I lived in Chicago. I grew up in Chicago. My dad, we went to all the games. He was a season ticket holder. So when Carl was traded to the Knicks for Cartwright, that did not go over well, but it was a smart move. He made the move to bring Dennis Rodman into Chicago for the second go-around, signed Tony Kukoc, who was an integral part of the Bulls' second three-peat. He died today at the age of 77. So, you know, obviously that's sad news in itself. I mean, when you think back, a lot of people made fun of him. Excuse me, a lot of people said things, but when you think that this is a guy that grew up in Chicago, one of Chicago's very own, I believe he went to Taft High School in Chicago, worked for the Cubs, recently worked for the Arizona Diamondbacks, scouted, always considered himself a scout first. I mean, think about it. He's the guy that found Scottie Pippen down in Central Arkansas when no one really knew who Scottie Pippen was. And obviously that doesn't happen today with the inception of YouTube and every other piece of social media that you can find. But sad in the passing of Jerry Krause. You know, obviously prayers go out to his family. He leaves a wife behind, and prayers definitely go out to his family. And he will, in the basketball hemisphere, say what you will about him. He will definitely be missed. Well, listen, this next segment, it will be brought to you by Tzatziki's Pita Grill, located on Elliott and Priest. We have a live show coming up soon there. Listen, you got to get down there. Let me just tell you about Tzatziki's Pita Grill. They make their tzatziki sauce fresh every single day, so you're not getting leftovers, or it's not store bought. They're not buying it from a warehouse. They make it fresh every single day, along with every other ingredient that they use. Everything is cooked fresh daily. Everything is prepared fresh. It is absolutely, positively the best Mediterranean food that I've had since I've been in Arizona, hands down. Again, it's located on Elliott and Priest, and that's in Tempe. If you get down there, let them know that PLR from the Cave Show sent you. They will take 10% off of any meal. Now, here's the kicker. Here's the best part. Right next door to Tzatziki's Pita Grill is Nara's Hookah Lounge. If you're at Nara's and you're having a hookah, say it's 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, because they're open till 2 o'clock every day, and you're hungry, you don't have to go to anything that ends in the O's or the N's or any of that. You can still order off the menu from Tzatziki's Pita Grill. Why not? I mean, I know you have to get tired at some point of anything ending in O's or N's. It's a welcome change. That's Tzatziki's Pita Grill. Let them know that PLR from the Cave Show sent you. and it will take 10% off. So get in there definitely and check it out. Okay, I don't even know where to start with this one. My bracket is so busted, it is absolutely god-awful terrible. Now, if anyone is telling me that their bracket is still great, they're still hanging in there, part of me is going to say, wow, you're a genius. Part of me is going to say you're a liar. With some of those upsets, Villanova going out had to just about bust up everybody's bracket. And like I said, if you tell me it didn't bust up your bracket, I'm not going to believe you. Because it killed me. Absolutely killed me. And just when I thought that I couldn't die another death, my team that I picked to win, and here's what makes it so bad. I never, ever picked Duke to do anything. And dog dang dag gummit, this was the year they got me. I picked them. Yes, I picked Duke, and they got me. The only other team I could have picked worse than Duke would have been that team in Tucson, Arizona. Because I did not pick them to win, obviously. But you know what? If I did, they would have lost just to spite my face. So like I said, my bracket is completely busted wide open. My Final Four had Duke, Arizona, Kansas, and UCLA. With UCLA playing Duke and Duke winning it. Now, LeVar Ball told me to pick UCLA. He told me. He told you. He told anybody that will listen. But you know what? They got Kentucky coming. That, to me, will be the game of this weekend. Kentucky and UCLA in a rematch. Remember now, UCLA went into Kentucky earlier this year. They went into Lexington. And UCLA beat Kentucky in Lexington. So if there's any game that I'm not going to miss this weekend, it will be that one. Another game that's going to be interesting to watch. Folks, do not think for one second North Carolina is going to walk all over Butler. Butler is an incredible team. They find a way. All the time they find a way. And obviously all that's down in the South. You get over to the East, where my bracket, again, just busted. Wisconsin, who beat Villanova, they're going to be playing Florida. And Florida, I had no faith in. I kid you not. I don't know how I had them getting this far, but I did. And this is where I had Villanova moving on. Villanova's not moving on. Villanova's already moved out. So if I'm having to pick a team here, I'm going with Wisconsin, man. Wisconsin just finds a way. Wisconsin just finds a way. Another Sweet 16 appearance for them. These guys are gritty, man. They're just gritty. They're not always the most fun team to watch, but they're the most fun team to watch. Made absolutely no sense, but it made all the sense in the world. Then in the East, we have Baylor and we have South Carolina. South Carolina obviously is a team that beat Duke. Sent them packing. Watch, listen, while you're watching South Carolina play Baylor, watch Frank Martin, the head coach of South Carolina on the sideline. He is just pure entertainment. Watch his face go from happy to sad to mad to frustrated. Then the yelling, then the avoid yelling. Fun to watch him coach. And they're playing Baylor. I've been telling everyone, Baylor's fool's gold. Well, you know what? Baylor's telling me you're a fool's gold. Anybody that could hear, I said Baylor was fool's gold. Anyone that can hear, I picked SMU to beat them. And I'm wrong. I was wrong. I can admit it. So now they're playing South Carolina. If I had to go with the team, which I got to go with the team, I got to give you something. Can't leave you hanging. Baylor's going to win this game just because I said they're fool's gold. Just because I said they're fool's gold. So I would say Baylor's going to move on to play Wisconsin, and Baylor's going to move on. I said it. Baylor's going on to the Elite Eight, Final Four, whatever you want to call it. Call them fool's gold. They showing me. Now, I did roll with Gonzaga this far, but something told me to pick Notre Dame. Notre Dame couldn't get by West Virginia. Huggy Bear had those boys going. He had them balling. He had them playing defense, and they moved on. So now we have the Zags against West Virginia. I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to slide on. I'm going to go with the seed here. I'm going to go with Gonzaga. Let's slide down. I had Xavier. I said, boy, I love that Xavier team. Then they got up against Florida State, and I said, what did I say? As much as I love Xavier, I'm going with Florida State, and guess who won? That's right, Xavier. Yep, I outsmarted myself. Did have them playing the team down in Southern Arizona, and I had the team in Southern Arizona moving on. So we'll see how that shakes out. In the last region, the Midwest, I had Kansas coming all the way through. They're the one team that's actually proven me right. But I honestly thought, folks, I thought Creighton could beat Rhode Island. I've been singing Creighton all year. I've been saying how Creighton could actually upset some good teams. Yeah, well, Rhode Island told me I was wrong. And then Oregon told me I was wrong again because they messed around and beat Rhode Island. So Oregon's going to play Michigan, and Michigan upset Louisville, and I thought Louisville would do some damage. But obviously, once again, I was wrong. So basically, what you're hearing is a lot of me say I was wrong. This is the worst bracket I've picked since I was 8. And before anyone makes any jokes that there weren't even 64 teams in, I already know that. I was 8 the last time I picked this bad. I've not been out of the pool. And when I say that, that doesn't necessarily mean it's for money because that could possibly be illegal. I've not been out of the pool this fast and weak after the first weekend since I was 9. I take it back. I was 8. Worst doggone picking I did. I don't know what's wrong with me. How the heck did I pick this bracket this badly? But do not lose faith in my picks next year. Last piece of business before we get out of here. First off, switch over to the pros. I'm really going to get into this tomorrow on Courtside with PLR. Heard at 1 o'clock, same time on the Cave Show Network. Sports Cave Network. So make sure you check that out. Our special guest will be former NBA champ Chucky Brown. He's going to come and hang with us. But we're going to definitely talk about that resting player stuff because in the NBA, that drives me absolutely nuts. So Jonathan Dwyer side with it. I don't. I'm sorry. I don't. But I'm not going to get on the soapbox today. I'm going to save it for Courtside with PLR tomorrow. Again, special guest will be Chucky Brown, former NBA champ with the Houston Rockets. But we're going to get into that tomorrow. But I do want to talk about the local team, the Phoenix Suns. The Phoenix Suns have basically shut it down. They only played 8 players on Sunday. There is no Eric Bledsoe. He's been shut down for the year. Brandon Knight has been shut down for the year. Wouldn't be surprised if he'd be gone by the summer. Tyson Chandler has been shut down since the All-Star break. So this is the team that you're going to see for the rest of the year. For the last 13, 14 games, Tyler Hulis, you're going to see a lot of Alan Williams, Big Sauce. You're going to see a lot of Alex Lynn. This is what you're going to see the rest of the year. Is it a tank job? Someone asked me the other day, Paul, is this a tank job? And I said, look, to be honest with you, if you have the third worst record in the NBA, I don't really know that you can tank from here on in. I mean, with respect to the team and to the record, if you have the third worst record in the NBA, and those were with your good players. Are you really tanking it with your young guys? I mean, it's I don't know how else to say that. So, no, I don't think they're officially tanking. I mean, if I'm the Suns, I want to get a look at what some of the young guys can do. It's not like other than pride, there's really not much to I mean, what are you trying to prove at this point? If Eric Bledsoe has sore knees, is it really worth him getting, you know, banged up more? I guess is the best way to put it. So we shall see. You know, we'll see, like I said, a lot of Tyler Ulis. We will see a lot of TJ Warren, a lot of Alex Lynn, a lot of Big Sauce. So, but don't lose faith. I think the Suns are going in a good direction. When the season ends, as we get closer, we'll obviously have your pre-draft workout summaries. So we'll take care of you on that end. We'll keep up with what's going on in football. I do want to give a shout-out to one of my dudes here, Derek Montilla. Congratulations to you. He's unfortunately for us, he's accepted a position with the ESPN affiliate, so he'll be doing his thing over there. He will always be part of the family, though, so congrats to my man Derek Montilla. I am hyped for what's coming up. The NBA playoffs are around the corner. The NFL draft is around the corner. So there's a lot of good things that will make us so happy that we love sports and that we talk sports. Tomorrow I have some gifts to give away, so make sure you're tuning in to Courtside with PLR. Yeah, you know, every now and then I get a hold of a couple freebies, so I want to definitely leave those when I have that opportunity. Well, that music can only mean one thing. It's time to wrap it up. You know where you can find us?
I am a mountain. I am a tall tree. Oh, I am a swift wind.
Make sure you check out sportscape.com.
I am a river. Down in the valley, oh, I am a vision, and I can see clearly. If anybody asks you who I am, just stand up tall, I'm in the face and say, I'm that star up in the sky, I'm that mountain peak up high. Hey, I made it, I'm the world's greatest. And I'm that little bit of hope. When my back's against the ropes, I can feel it. I'm the world's greatest.
But until next time,
I am a giant. I am an eagle. Oh, I am a lion. Down in the jungle, I am a marching band.